Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Kenneth Furland.
Tony Keel.
Joe Nacha.
Welcome to Modcast episode 29. Today we are joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Oh, brother.
John BTR's Archer.
G'day, everyone.
And me, Tony Garzazaki Keel. Hello. With absolutely no guest co-hosts, three-man show, tiny. It will probably make no sense at all whatsoever, but we still have to plan on having some fun. We had some topics.
And today in the code corner, we look at the Hawaiian Inquisition mod, version 2.0e, and the TensorTom Python Wankers mods.
And today in the modest spotlight, we've been looking at an Australian mod for colonization done by Pyman.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods or any other non-graphical mods in the Civilization 4 modding community.
Alright, we have a delicious piece of code with pasta, Alfredo sauce, crushed garlic, breadsticks, Caesar salad. And this one was brought to me by our good friend Kenneth D. Impaler. And this is called Orion's Inquisition Mod, version 2.0e.
Yeah, he's currently on E. So, the backstory to this is Orion Veteran, this fellow who's been, you know, hanging around for a long time. I believe this is his first mod, but more than a year ago, he asked me and a bunch of other guys, and he would go around to all the threads for people who add Inquisition mods, like the Lopez's Inquisition mod, which was a really popular one, and basically ask for a ton of features, you know, and tell people how it should work. It's like, no, it should be, you know, there should be this rules to how the system works. And managed to slightly tick off a few people doing it. And now he's actually made his own version, which is, you know, what is it like? The only way to get anything done in colonization, or in modding world, is
do it your damn self.
Yeah, pretty much. Either someone's got to like your idea, if they don't immediately love your idea, and they're like, yeah, they're going to do their own work.
Yeah.
And yeah. You're going to have to do your idea. There's always a chance if you throw your idea out there and someone just loves it, that can work.
Well, this is like the third Inquisition mod we've covered. There's been a few of them. Well, I don't know. We've been doing the show for over a year. I don't remember, but it's by Orion Veteran. Let's see here. It introduces the Inquisitor, which is pretty standard. The Inquisitor, of course, removes the non-state religions from a city. Also, like the missionary, you can have three per player at any one time. It's a limited unit. But apparently the Inquisitor can defend the official state religion, and which is interesting.
Well, he's set it up so that you can use a globaldefine.alt, which is just an XML file. And you can get a number of different factors, you know, they're on and off of Boolean decisions you can make that determine how the rules work for the system.
He punched that into the XML file, that generic Global Defines file.
Yeah, well, Global Defines alt, which is a secondary XML file, which will just hold these defines.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but you can put in there limit of how many religions you have that you can inquisify. Whether you allow foreign inquisitors to do their thing, you can prevent the inquisitors from attacking and purging the holy city, all these other little more minutia details of how the system will actually work. So you can actually, you know, set it up to be more like he thinks the rules should have been, because these are exactly the kinds of rules he was arguing should or should not be in some of the other Inquisition mods. And he's made it optional.
I don't agree with purging a holy city. That's a little extreme for gameplay, you know?
Yeah, so you can just set that to zero, and it disallows that. But you can also do another thing, is that you can have the holy city automatically respawned somewhere else if it is purged or raised in the location where it is.
That kind of is indicative of some religions. Like, I'm pretty sure that Islam started in Medina and then migrated to Mecca.
No, it was in Mecca, then migrated to Medina, and then migrated back to Mecca.
Well, there you go.
You learn something every day.
Okay, but it was only outside there for, like, 10 years.
Well, so, fine.
You know, that would be like less than in one turn.
Well, you know what? Kiss my ass.
Just a minute. We'll get that on videotape first, Tony.
As I said, that's going to be $14.95 per minute, and you and me will split that profit, Ken.
Okay. He's also got a religious victory condition in the mod as well. You've got to have a state religion, you've got to have the holy city of that religion, and you've got to have 80% influence.
In the city you're trying to build it in?
No, you've got to have 80% world influence of your religion, which is your state religion, and you have the holy city and holy shrine of the religion.
And wait, to build an inquisitor, you have to have 80%?
No, that's to get the religious victory.
Oh, he had a religious victory. You know, 80's a little bit high.
Well, actually, because of the way that religions can overlap, but of course, maybe because now he's got inquisitors in there. I mean, it used to be you could get your religion pretty high because of the ability to have multiple religions in a city, and there was no way to remove them. So religious victories in the past have been a little tricky because of that. It's like it's kind of easy to, maybe a little too easy to spread your religion around, but with 80% and the ability for the people to use inquisitors, that's a very tough victory condition. I think that's a worthy of victory if you've actually gotten 80% control. That's like, you'll probably had to conquer half the world to do that.
Well, you know, on my second revolution mod, I had created the ideology victory using the religious victory mechanic, and I had set it at 75 or 70 or 60, something like, I think 66, and I had put a, you know, ideologue in every single, which is essentially a missionary for the, you know, whatever, anarchism, neoliberalism, or whatever. And I'd put one in every single city on the map. I have like 150 cities on the map, and I still wasn't even close. Those cities weren't able to churn enough influence to get the religious victory. And that was with every city on the map has my ideology.
Well, so you weren't basing it on the percentage control, because that's what influence is. That's just a raw percentage of religion, of cities in the world that have the religion.
No, it's not. It's also population, too. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, so you're saying if a city has, like, say, 10 population and 2 religions in it, it only counts as 5 population for each religion?
Well, I think it counts as what percentage of strength that religion has in each city.
Oh, so there's kind of a hidden variable there that represents the split between 2 religions if, or multiple religions if they're in a city. This is like 30%, that one's 20%, this is 50%, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, if you have a city with 5 religions, you know, and you send another missionary there, you know, which of those cities is going to nix that, which of those religions is going to nix that missionary? And, you know, I'm pretty sure that's a hidden variable because I had every single city on the map settled with a missionary.
Well, I know there is a decreasing probability of a missionary being successful once there are more religions in a city. I think it's like you have to roll, you know, it does a roll of the number of religions plus 1, and you have to beat all the other religions. So say if there's 5 religions in a city, it rolls a random number from 0 to 6, I mean from 0 to 5, and you have to hit 5 in order to successfully implant the new religion. So it gets progressively harder.
That's pretty tough.
That's the math, I think, that it works out to. So every religion past the second decreases your probability of successfully having the missionary work to implant his new religion.
Ugh.
But I didn't think there was actually a breakdown of percentage like that you're describing. But
well, I'm just telling you, my observation was I had every city covered and was not close. And I did not modify the SDK in this area, if at all. No. Interesting.
Interesting.
He's got down here, the AI will be pissed off at you if you start screwing with his religions. And which is good. If you purge a non-state religion, he gets a little ticked off. He's like, "Hey, those were my little other religion, you know." I try to say anything religious. If I use an actual religious name, it'll sound like racist, you know. But that's our other little religion. And then you got the non-state holy city, which is a hit on your culture. Because I mean, don't holy cities produce a little culture no matter what, or only if they're
well, the holy city. Bonus, it's like, what, 4 religion per, I mean, 4 culture per turn, and then the shrine can produce about 8 culture.
And
so once you build those shrines, you usually get a big culture out.
Even if, the shrine helps even if it's not your state religion, don't it?
Yeah, I think you're right, it does.
So then you got, but see, a non-state holy city, a non-state holy shrine stack, I bet, because the holy shrine and the holy city are both -3, so I imagine it's a -6 for mixing the holy city with the holy shrine. Oh, and look, can you purge religious buildings with these inquisitors? Like, destroy a temple?
That's a good point. I've seen other inquisition mods that do have a building conversion percentage chance probability. So, like, the temple of one religion switches to another, which is what people actually did back then. It's like, we don't have to build a whole one. We'll just tear down their logo from this building and put on ours, you know? Yeah, but then there was also a percentage chance that they would be destroyed. People like, you know, we must cleanse this place of the infidels, you know, something like that. I don't think he's got anything in there like that. I think he's just got straight changing of, you know, the religion in the city.
Yeah, interesting mod.
Also mentioned it's implemented in Python. Is how it's
written in Python? Not bad.
Very good.
Yeah, Python's nice. A little less tricksy in some ways to install into your own mod. What mods might benefit from this? Of course, a ancient Spain, medieval Spain mod would be great for this, because there was some pretty heavy Inquisitioning going on there with the Moors and the Catholics and whatnot. And of course, this might work for many regions in the world that had, you know, very strong religious struggles. What can you guys think of? Some other places this would work good.
I think it's pretty much good in any kind of mod, because I like...
South America?
Not really. South America's just entirely Catholic.
Oh, no, there was a few Inquisitors that were sent to South America. Now, if you have a look at the movie The Mission...
I have not seen that movie.
That's one that comes to mind straight away. With Inquisitors.
In the ancient times? Yeah. That's weird.
It's got Robert De Niro in it.
So,
no doubt, he's an Inquisitor sent there as a missionary.
Okay, so he's purging the native religions and converting folks.
But he's still, like, you know, that's peeling people's fingernails off and lighting them on fire.
Oh, yes. Tied to a chair.
Ooh, tied to a chair. That will be $19.95 per minute. All right. And, you know, as we can say, always need more code. Coders, we need more code. Your modcast is asking you to make more code.
Hit up our other mod. This is the Titsitom 1 Python Wonders page. Yeah, this is a kind of crossover, because it's a collection of like 20 different wonders here, all of which are written in Python and contain a fully... They're somewhat modular in the sense that each one is available as an individual download. Each one's got its own art files that give you the building and all the XMLs for them, and they give you a nice individually coded Python effect, which give you, you know, like some interesting effects that are not created through XML. They're little different types of things. So, for example, this School of Confucius, when you build it, gives you a random great person.
Ah!
Great prophet. It says city more likely to generate a great prophet. Yes.
That's the points it gets you, and the great people points. But at the time you build it, you get the free person.
Well, that's kind of a sweet little wonder right there. I'd definitely build that.
Also gives you +8 culture.
I just noticed that most of this artwork's not done by Centom.
No, he's just the coder, and he's picked up a lot of artwork that's been around. Like, he's got the Leonardo's workshop that was done by...
We covered that one, actually.
I can't remember his name. This Leonardo's workshop is really excellent. That's been a good model. And the modder who made it is no longer with us, really, and active. But he made a lot of great stuff.
Well, talking about the Leonardo's workshop, at one time I actually managed to convert the Civ 2 movie file and actually whack that into Civ 4.
As a BIC file? You mean the movie file they use?
As a BIC file, yeah. And it actually came up. When it came up to the time, and it was great. It was sitting there, wow. Yeah. It really does work.
Is that the Magellan's Voyage one? Because I've seen people do that. They take the Magellan's Voyage movie file from Civ 2.
Yes,
and
you can have a lot of fun from using, if you've still got the original AVI files, please someone send me a private message, because I'd like to have the original AVI files. But the ones that I found were on YouTube only as FLVs.
You don't have the original copy of Civ 2?
It's gone. I lost it a long time ago. The disc broke.
Oh, they're easy to acquire. They're easy to acquire, I think.
So, it's one of those things.
Oh. We got the Great Mosque of Janae. There we go. And it gives +2 golden desert tiles and half-price cathedrals in all cities. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Jinai. Jinai?
Yeah, Jinai? we're not going to get it right.
Sounds like the Jinai from Stargate Atlantis.
I was just waiting for you to pop off at the mouth.
Well, I think one of the more interesting ones he's got here, as far as just gameplay interesting-wise, is a national wonder. Everyone gets to build one called Public Works. It only costs 250 hammers, but it's really late in the game in industrialization. And this gives you a free Barracks Granary Forge Market Aqueduct Cathedral Courthouse and Library in the city it's built. So it basically completely boots up your city to have all those infrastructures that it needs to have.
And you can build one of those per civ.
Yeah, so you only get to build this once, and it's bam, the city's got, you know, like 20, 30 tons worth of basic infrastructure built that you would want to have any city to have. And it's a lot cheaper. I mean, all those buildings...
At what time period?
Or I said it requires industrialization. So it's
that's
pretty
right,
late in the game.
By that time, or you should already have your barracks and theaters and courthouses and libraries.
Well, if you build a new city...
It's for a new city, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, yes, if you build a new industrial city. Already done.
You get a city with a good position.
Oh, well, yes, if you build a new industrial city.
You got that fortress you need to base all your... You go to invade another continent, that first city, would you want to build a fortress, you could build that and that have everything taken care of. I am gaga about this one called the Eden Project. It costs $33.75 with genetics, so it's like absolutely end game, and it improves all terrains and cultural borders by one level. So I'm guessing deserts to grass, or deserts to plains, plains to grass. Kind of cool. That's actually really cool. Deserts to plains, plains to grass, land, grassland to forest, snow to tundra, tundra to plains, oceans to coast. Oh, it even gets on your oceans.
Yeah, that gives you an extra commerce on those.
Cool.
Sweet.
And then there's the Jukasjärvi.
Don't try to pronounce that one. Just skip that one.
I've seen this on a documentary. They made a whole hotel out of ice. Mm. So inside, outside, it's all ice. So you're
That's not a good investment when you consider global warming.
No.
Well, you're going to be f***ing cold, too. I mean, like, you go lay down in your bed that's made out of ice with your blanket that's made out of, like, frost. And you gotta have full on cold gear. And then they get up, they have to drink ice water and eat, you know, ice food. Like they crumble up ice, and that's like your scrambled eggs, and they dust it with a little bit of frost. And that's like some cheese.
And they have sherbet for dessert.
Yeah. And then they have like ice sandwiches where it's two slabs of ice with some crushed ice in between.
And also maybe cut up seal or something.
And their ice cones just consist of, you know, like a cylinder of ice with a little sphere of ice on top, you know.
Well, no, very literally, though, the kitchen for this hotel is outside. Which makes sense, because kitchens can get kind of warm. The kitchen is completely outside of the hotel. So they cook it outside in the cold air and bring it into the hotel so they don't melt the damn place.
And the freezer is just in the middle of the hotel without anything around it, you know. Well, it's just an open-air freezer. Racks of meat hanging.
This one gives snow and tundra plus two. And, yeah, it improves your cold areas, very much so. Let's see one we haven't looked at that looks cool.
Well, one of the ones I liked, artistically, here's a good one. The Himeji Samurai Castle, that's a really beautiful-looking model to it.
And who did that? Let's just give him a little credit. That is by model taken from EE2 Uploaded, so that's off of a video game. Another video game.
Oh. Mm.
EE2? What is EE2? Empire Earth 2, maybe?
Oh.
So they ported it.
That's kind of a no-no.
But yeah, it is a cool model. I liked the... there's also the Great Bath of Mohenjo-Daro, which gives you fresh water and plus one population to new cities. Cool. And then we've got the E-Bank, which the building looks like some kind of like grid of energy.
Yeah, it looks like a giant Energon cube from Transformers is what it looks like.
which isn't that Transformers' favorite food?
Yeah, I would have made this a project rather than a building because it's you know, kind of ephemeral, like the internet. I mean, that's why the internet is a project rather than wonder, because you don't put it in one city.
Well, so this one's sick because it increases your reserves by 50%. So you get a whole big chunk of money, and then gives you 2% interest. Very sweet.
Yeah. Now, here's one that I thought was a particularly interesting idea. It's the Topkapı Palace, which is essentially the capital of the Ottoman Empire, Istanbul. And it does two interesting things. It says it strengthens your vassals by giving them every turn some gold and experience bonus. So as long as they're your vassals, they get this bonus. And then it gives you a 20% chance every time you train a unit. If one of your vassals has a unique unit of that class, you get the unique unit stick.
Oh, that's cute. And that's cute.
Frankly, I'm thinking that should be 100% damage. You know, it's like, because the chances of me having conquered a vassal, you know, at some point where their, you know, unique unit is in the future and it's going to benefit me and they're still my vassal during the time that they're
producing their unit. Yeah, so make that 100%. Just say train, you can now, they should just add the unit to your unit list.
Well, it would replace your unit.
Tony, if you scroll down a bit further, they have the trade fair of Troyes. Now, that is also used in Civ Rev as well.
That graphic?
Graphic, but the actual wonder itself.
Oh, they have a wonder called that in Rev.
Yes,
so it gives you a benefit on your culture and your money. It gives it a little bit more per hammer, you know? Almost said shield for some reason. What's this one?
There's a Malleus Maleficarum. That's kind of a neat-looking model there. It's a guy being burned on a stake.
Ooh. No non-state religion spread. Purges non-state religion from your cities. So
it's like an instant inquisition, you know?
Ooh, and then they all burn on that little toasty thing, and you get that. Yeah. Then they also have
But it's obsolete with liberalism.
That's too
no
bad.
More burning of people at the stake with liberals.
That's a shame.
Plus, I mean, not only do you get the fun of having someone scared to death, then you get the fun of watching them die and scream, which is just like watching, you know, Sci-Fi Channel at 10 p.m. And then afterwards, everyone gets a real crunchy snack. It's wonderful.
The only person on the stick comes to mind is Joan of Arc.
Yeah, and then everyone had a chick on a stick. I'm making cannibalism jokes. Oh, cool terracotta army. That was something dug up in China. It was a bunch of random clay soldiers, which was weird. But it looks like you get a great artist more likely, and units killed in your cities add culture. So
it's an interesting ability. So I guess if you're like defending in your city and someone is attacking you and your unit dies, you get culture added. Now that sounds interesting, but if I'm actually having my cities attacked and units are dying, I'm screwed. It's like a wonder that only helps you, and it's like I'm not going to win a cultural victory if my cities are being attacked.
Well, no, you're gonna if you successfully defend them like you should with a cultural, you're gonna get a whole bunch of culture. If you lose, well, you might as well just reload. You know.
Oh well, I kind of like the idea of the old terracotta army from was it Civ 2 or Civ 3, where it produced a unit for you every few turns.
Well. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, first of all, the unit would have to be a clay man with zero movement points, zero attack, and one defense. And
no, it would just be a drafted unit. I wrote a mod that did that. It was the same effect you would get from hitting the draft button, just with no loss of population or happiness. And it happened every 10 turns or something.
Oh, and you gotta check this one out. It's a Herc factory, and this wonder is specific to Next War. And what it does is it's a really painful wonder. It gets +4 yuck face in all cities, +2 yuck face from oil. It gives you a little chance on a great engineer, but it has a no assault mech national limit. Now, if you played Next War, you can only build so many of those giant robots.
Giant death robots.
Yes, and they're really, nothing can beat them other than maybe another giant death robot. But this wonder, which is really painful for all your cities, but it does have no limit. So you can just, you know, have a, you know, a stack of death robots and then just take the time to crush every single, you know, city on the globe.
Ooh, that and sounds fun.
Check out this KGB wonder. Another really clever effect. When it's built, it causes all rival governments to go into anarchy for a brief period of time, actually.
Oh.
Not permanently, but it's like, ooh, we've messed with your government, you know?
That's Lubyanka.
And it gives you +20 spy points in all your cities. as a permanent effect.
Wow. These wonders were a lot more fun than I thought they would be. Thanks, Ken. These were fun.
Yeah, all these effects are really interesting, and a lot of them are very original. I mean, they're all done with Python, so you really can do anything with them.
And you know what else is? Maybe Firaxis should look at some of these abilities they didn't think of, some of these tweaks, and consider adding XML support for them in Civ 5. Because a lot of these are kind of, you know, that should have been done in the beginning, you know?
Well, again, they're really off-the-wall ideas. I mean, they're really very creative. I mean, so I wouldn't be blaming anyone for not thinking of these specific ideas, because there are just so many.
Oh, well, no, I'm not blaming them for not thinking of them, but I will blame them if they don't add them later, you know? Because here they are. I doubt anyone for Firaxis listens to this show, though, so.
Naturally.
Oh, maybe the odd one or two.
I doubt it.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
Looking at the Australian colonization mod that... Ken, you sent me this mod?
Yeah, I sent you all the links for our mods. Well, except for a few of the artist ones.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Oh.
You're covering my back is what you're doing there. Thank you very much, Ken.
Forum Topics brought to you by Ken.
Mm-hmm. Ken
Tony
listens.
Usually does all that work, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm lazy, so, you know, I drank a bit of beer this week. That was fun. We have, in our upcoming mods, we have the Australian Colonization version 0.25 by Pyman. Pyman? I don't
know. Pyman.
It's a superhero with the power of pie.
Excellent. Now, is he talking about blueberry pie or like apple pie? Because, you know, it's up for grabs.
No, it's a coconut cream pie, the only type of pie which is appropriate for throwing in people's
Ooh,
faces.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, I mean, why can't you throw an apple pie?
It won't stick. It won't.
Because that would be un-American.
Mm. Yeah, that would be un-American, wouldn't it? Well, no, apple pie is American.
Apple pie is for eating. It's for eating, but not for throwing.
Oh, so you throw the custard pies at each other, and afterwards we all sit down to a plate of apple pie and ice cream and, you know, Jack Daniel's whiskey.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right. No, just don't listen to me. I'm not exactly sure what it is to be American, as you can tell at this point. But it just does. I know it involves Jack Daniel's whiskey somehow.
And do you have Coca-Cola with that, Tony?
Depending on how angry I want to get. If I want to get extremely angry, I'm just going to skip the Coca-Cola and just go right into that bottle. No, I'm kidding. I haven't drank Jack Daniel's since I was a kid, so. Back when it was, when I was a huger alcoholic and I was underage, so. What can you go? Go figure. Alright. Now this mod, this is Pyman's first mod, and he's not done with it yet, but, he's basically taking the Civilization colonization and setting it for the landing at Sydney Cove in January 1788 to 1901. So it's like it's a little later date than the normal colonization, but then again, Australia's settlement happened at different times. There's some things like some new leaders.
Yeah, all the leaders have been changed around, haven't they?
Yeah.
To Australians.
Yeah.
And they changed the King of England to Queen Victoria, to make more sense.
Naturally.
Oh, and now you travel north side of the map to get to Europe?
Makes sense.
You get two petty criminals?
Yeah, I liked that. You know, you start with the petty criminals. How historically accurate.
Well, that's true.
Now, he's got a few bugs, but he's trying to work on balance and get some events in there. He's got a lot of work to do. Let's see here. When was this? When did he make this post? This was just end of January, so this is a fresh mod. This is just getting started.
So, videos, can you tell us about some of the leaders he has? Edmund Barton, Alfred.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he's chosen some leaders which were like, you know, virtually came in around the 1900s, including Edward Barton, which was the first Prime Minister of Australia. I'm very surprised because I would have thought he would have used the first governor, Governor Phillips, as the first New South Wales governor of the colony, and he governed from 1788 to 1794. I would have liked to have seen that
BTR knows his history.
Yes.
That would have been a more appropriate.
It would be, and I hope that Pyman actually includes that in his next version.
I'll give him a little post to Modcast. Added your thing to Modcast.
Yeah, it looks like he'll change some of the resources to Australian equivalent silver to gold. I thought you guys said opals rather than gold. Oh, well. And fur becomes wool.
Fur becomes wool?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Australia is just full of sheep. They have like 25 sheep per person in Australia, something like that.
It's about 50 sheep.
Ridiculous.
50 sheep, Ken. In New Zealand.
Okay.
When you kill a sheep, does it produce lamb meat?
No, it yells out,
But what do you eat off a sheep? What is that called?
Lamb cutlets, lamb chops.
Ooh, lamb. I love lamb. Lamb is like beef, but better.
If it's a grown-up sheep, isn't it called mutton?
Something like that. Well, okay. I don't know.
I'll eat mutton, I'll eat lamb. I don't give a fuck.
You only get lamb from a lamb. You don't get lamb from a sheep. That's my point.
Oh, well, to me it all tastes yummy.
Is it like veal, you have to abuse the little baby sheep?
Exactly.
Oh, well, you know, you can taste the real effort they put into it, you know, the abuse, the torture.
Taste it makes delicious. It tender, yes.
Yeah, made very tender. And PETA, my address is Tucson, Arizona. My name is Ken Furland.
Yeah.
Send your envelope bombs to that address.
Tony? Just stop now. Okay, now let's talk about some of the... They've got some native tribes in here. They've got the Maori, which I thought those guys were in New Zealand, not Australia. But, and then... okay, I can't pronounce any of these. Scroll down to the 14th post, BTRs, and tell me, are these historically accurate native groups here? Are those groups accurate? I mean, I didn't know there were that many different Aboriginal groups in Australia.
No, well, they might have been, but I mean to say, at the time, most of them were nomadic people. So, but do you know something, Ken? Actually, the Dutch, and by the 1750, around 1750, the Dutch and the Germans had actually had smaller colonies around South Australia and also around on the West Coast. And, of course, the Dutch actually did have a couple of settlements on the West Coast. They actually mapped most of the West Coast of Australia in the mid-1500s.
Wait a sec. So he's only talking about when England got to...
By the time England got there, Captain Cook had... settled on the East Coast.
That's why all the English live on the majority of the population now lives on the East Coast of Australia, right?
That's true, yeah.
It's also the only part that's green, right?
Although there are some fertile areas in South Australia and Western Australia at certain times of the year.
Yeah.
Now, let me get this right. So this guy's only covering England coming into Australia. He should be setting it more in normal colonization time scale.
Yes.
Ah, well, you know, Pie Man, I hope you're listening. This is coming straight from the dingo's mouth.
Well, if he has the other nations, you know, the other colony, the Dutch, the German colonists in the south, already on the map when you start as England, maybe that's his intent, is to make a historically accurate kind of... It's the English are kind of predestined to win, and the other guys were going to get queen. Maybe that's his point.
Yeah, it would have been very different if the Dutch had actually colonized on the eastern coast. It would have been a totally different continent then.
You guys would have been speaking like half Aborigine, half Dutch, kind of like Afrikaner or something. That'd be cool.
I think it'd be more like, hello, we are Atara, Australia.
And Wouter would very easily be able to speak with you in his language.
No, but the Dutch colonies always get conquered by someone else. That seems to be their fate.
Ooh.
You know, it's
well,
like,
you know, it's because they move in.
You know what they say? Even though New York was once New Amsterdam.
Well, you know, they move in, they get comfortable, then they start drinking their Pilsner. And that Pilsner, you know, they just like, you can conquer us. You know, we don't care. Or if it was water, it's like, oh, I must drink my Pilsner now. You can change it to New Amsterdam. I do not care.
And I must go out to wear my clogs.
Let's hope water's not listening to this episode.
No, I don't think
so. Water, please come back. We'll stop taunting your nation, your nationality.
Don't promise. Don't make promises we can't keep. So you played this mod extensively, John?
Yeah, I played it over the weekend. I had a good play with it.
What were some of the pros on this mod? What were some of the good things you liked about it?
He made a good effort. It was quite a good effort for his
this
first effort.
Good.
I would have liked to have seen the Australian, the original British flag. He didn't have, I think that's just over the picture of Edward Barton. I would have, like I said, it would have been better to have Governor Phillips with the proper British picture of him and the British flag, because that's what it was.
They did. And he had the Australian flag on
No, his he had it. He had the, it's like a modern Australian flag.
Oh, I see. So, and, yeah, well, you know, yeah, I don't. Is Pie Man from Australia? I'm not sure.
He says he's from Melbourne, so.
So you guys, you can go on down there and give him a talk.
Yeah,
I'll
hop on a V-line train and just go down and see him and give him. I'll interview him there live on the spot. I'll bring the camera down and we'll record him for the next modcast.
And then you'll berate him and taunt him in Australian lingo.
That's right.
It's another Aussie off.
We're going to have a crikey off. I detect it coming on. Uh-oh. Crikey off.
Yes, so how many crikeys do you give this mod?
Well, out of five crikeys, I give it maybe a 2.5 stars crikey. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, we definitely see the effort he's put into it. Maybe he needs to crack open a history book or open the Wikipedia for Australia a little more deeply, but
yes, it would be beneficial, especially when he's having Maoris, which they're part of New Zealand, nothing to do with Australia.
Well, is New Zealand on the map of this game?
Well, he's tried to add it a little bit to the east.
To be correct, I think that portion about the natives was a suggestion. He's got a couple of people in the thread who are kind of helping him out with these.
Okay, so that's not necessarily had that in there. But, you know, this mod brings up, like, ideas you could have for other mods. Like, you could have an Africa colonization mod. Like, you could take the colonization engine and put it in South America. You could put it in Africa. Mm-hmm. You could even put it in the East. All you have to do to do all this would just import Civ 4 units from those Civs. It'd be perfect, you know, for the natives, you know.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, you can do a straight up, you know, scenario in which you just change the map, but changing the stuff, you know, like changing resources, changing nationalities, changing time periods and leaders, you can really add a lot more of the flavor of a particular era of colonization and do, you know, any continent you like, Australia, Asia, Africa.
Yeah.
All great. With this same type of level of modding.
Which is, you know, not doesn't so much have to be heavy in the SDK on this either, you know. It doesn't.
No, most of it can be done just asset-wise.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I don't think any others have been done like this. So, you know, modders, you got the idea from Piehead, Pieman, Pie, this guy. You, you can make a mod for the classical colonial periods quite easily with colonization.
Yep.
But was there the issue of like revolutions in Australia? Did like the English send down
no
expeditionary force?
No, nothing like that ever happened. See, at the time, because of the American independence and because the America wasn't taking any more penal colonists, all the convicts were all sent to Australia, and it was sent that way. Unfortunately. Some people in England now still think of Australia as a penal colony, which isn't true, because there was so many free settlers coming from Europe to settle there, like the Dutch and the Germans. Yeah.
Australia got its independence like Canada was. It was like, hey, can we be independent? And the king's like, okay, you know, whatever.
Like that, we got federation.
Kind of like that.
And it was introduced in 1901. And that our federation virtually separated us a little bit from England. But we are still a British, still a bit under the British rule, unfortunately. There's a lot of Australians that would like to see Australia become a full republic and break away from the monarchy.
Oh, that's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
So it's the same way as Canada? It's like in the British Commonwealth kind of
yes,
thing?
Yes, we're still part of the Commonwealth, yes.
Oh, okay.
We still have the Queen of England as head of state, so.
Love living under the yoke of the imperial tyranny. Yeah. It's just a lie. You're all descended from thieves. Thieves.
I'm not. I'm Irish descent.
I'm just kidding.
Now, you know, the word penal colony sounds more appropriate for, like, perhaps a gay bar, you know?
Why, Tony, do you go to gay bars much?
Not nearly enough.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast,
Revcast, or
Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
Now, I think this podcast we didn't have in our sketch pad because the time's just getting that way. We just got all out fun. Too much fun. No. We're fine. We're fine. I'd rather it be an episode with just a code corner. That's just for you,
yeah.
Ken.
Just one.
Yeah, I'm gonna wrap it up though, because that Centom Wonders took up a whole bunch of fun time. That was a lot of fun. So this episode, I believe, is the first ever modcast without an artist sketchpad, which is
let's do at least one of these things just for balance.
Which is good because we've had a dozen episodes where there were no code corner and only artist sketchpad. This time there's only code corner, no artist sketchpad, and this I dedicate to you, Ken.
Thank you. I'm giving you the little, you know,
bow down,
cupped hand wave
for being a coder on the code episode.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. You know, making sure your arm fat doesn't jiggle.
Do you want some cupcakes?
No, I'm the cupped hand. You're missing it.
I want a cupcake. Who's got cupcakes?
I was referring to like the kind of the way that Miss America does the wave.
Oh,
you
yes,
know?
I.
But you now you've got me started on cupcakes, man. I'm getting kind of hungry.
I'm hungry too.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting hungry. Cupcakes with a nice big glass of milk. That sounds kind of good.
Cupcakes.
Vanilla and chocolate cupcakes with sprinkles on top, little crunchy sprinkles.
Okay, enough of that, you guys.
Hey, the fat guys are drooling and fantasizing, so.
Indeed.
You know, when we watch the Food Channel, the Food Network, it's like, you know, normal people watching porn.
We're
like, Food Network. I would love to eat that. But, by the way, we are legally allowed to make fun of fat people because we are fat.
That's true, yes.
I weigh like 280 pounds. So I am very much fat.
I'm only about 100 kilos.
Okay, well, since I'm only 120, does that mean I'm not allowed?
Since you're 120, you are the enemy.
Wait, 100 kilos is 200 pounds, right?
He's doing the kilos.
Or I might be 111. I don't know. I don't count.
Yeah, you said kilos. Like, no, you're trying to cheat. You're trying to make this sound low. You have to convert that.
What is it in pounds, man? Pounds.
I don't know. That's old-fashioned.
Every kilo is 2 pounds, Tony. It's roughly a 2-to-1 ratio. Point something, 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 something.
Well, anyways, without any more further math relating to our fatness, a lot of fun was had. We wish... I just typed in artist cupcakes for the next episode's posting. A lot of fun was had. We didn't have a guest today, but hey, anyone who listens to this show and likes to mod or has something good to say, send me a PM, Garrett Sidzaka, at CFC or Apolitan websites, and we'll get you in a damn show. It's no biggie. Unless you're like a serial killer or something like that, then we might pass you up. But, well, we might have had a serial killer too. I don't know. But anyway, send us a PM, any of us, but especially me, and we'll try to get you in on this show. A lot of fun we had today, and I'm going to finish it up with saying today we have been joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferlin.
Yep.
John BTR's Archer.
Bye bye, everyone.
And me, Tony Garrett Sarkakiel. Goodbye. With special guest co-host Nobody. We will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
record date.
March 8th, 2009.
Sound clips copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs.
Copyright 2009, Appalachian Civilization site at appalachian.net.